Okay, and so the delegations also met with families benefiting from unconditional cash transfers and measures to improve the health and nutrition and financial inclusion of the poorest households affected by the earthquake. What that has to do with transfers sent by people? He said that the delegation also met with families benefiting from unconditional cash transfers. That's the one that the Haitians are sending directly to their families. Now, as of June 30th, 2022, the World Bank's active portfolio in Haiti is comprised of 20 projects with a total value of $1.3 billion as of June 30th, which represents an increase in commitments of nearly 40% over the past 12 months. A significant effort has been made to support Haiti following the 2021 earthquake that affected the country's southern peninsula. In February this year, a donors conference mobilized $600 million, of which nearly 200 was committed by the World Bank. In addition, the IFC Haiti portfolio is comprised of 8 projects with an initial commitment of $141 million. The IFC is also providing emergency support to the private sector, including to the garment sector, to increase the production of personal protective equipment for Haiti's COVID-19 response. And that was an article published on Haiti Libre. And so this is the money that is allocated for Haiti's sustainable recovery. I don't know how, if that will be, you know, if that promise will be kept. Because the way I'm seeing things are going down in the U.S. and around the world, I don't know who will be, if that promise will be kept. But so far, that's what we got. As I was broadcasting earlier, and for some reason that we have some difficulty with the program, and I would like to play this song again for Mother's Day, because it's a beautiful song. So listen to this. This is a song from what is his name? This guy, Gene Favens. And this is, you know, I have so many different Mother's Day songs, but this one is new, and I'd like to share it with our listeners, because sometimes when those young people have something that you can share, it's good to give them that. But it's not that old. 6 years ago, it's called Merci Mama. So from Gene Favens, let's listen to this. It's nice. So we can share it again with our listeners, because sometimes that we have earlier we had some issues with the technical difficulties, and so because of that we missed the song. But that doesn't mean that it's not going to be played. I have that. What's going on here? It seems like sometimes that things work and sometimes they don't. But I hear that. But for some reason that you hear one thing and then you don't hear it anymore. So we have to make sure that we have. Oh, that's it. That's the other one. And we have. Okay, here it is. Here it is. We have some signals. But it's clear. The weather is good and the sun is out. For some reason that we have some difficulty with the internet. Apparently, that's what it looks like. But I doubt it, because things start to wound around and around and around and around before you get it. Okay. Now it's finally on. Let's take a listen. This is for Mother's Day.
Comme à nous, c'est si à voir la Jim Tavis once again qu'à frapper. Moi, qu'on est oublié de danser. Pas de problème dégager, vous mettez fin ça, vous voulez. Mais s'il vous plaît, m'amende, toute belle maman qui l'a, on s'y levait danser. Et la jeunesse m'a demandé pour aller embrasser maman. Il chance à ses fous.
merci maman. Parce qu'on va te décourager. Alors c'est Ivana, gardez qui l'âge, moi gagne un jotia. Moi toujours gagne maman bon côté, m'kounye ya, c'est peut-être ça. Moi pas si spon by bon, j'ai droit. Parce qu'elle y connaît qui ça qui café, que moi gagne la joie. Imaginez, ou pas gagne maman bon côté, ou yon se bagay, ou après senti que ke wap déchiré, ou c'est peut-être ça. Puis qu'on quitte maman m'a dit chaudé, parce que je gagne pour manger, aux azos gagne pour dévouer, faites attention.
Going on the bike, yeah, it's technical difficulties, that's what was getting caught up. Okay, so for some reason that we're having some difficulty here, but when it comes up again, we can finish this song. It's a beautiful song. It's a young song, young guy telling his mother, thanking his mother. But,
yeah. Maman chérie, je ne connais pas comment me dire merci. Vous pouvez me lever moi devant tout le monde pour la vie. C'est peut-être ça, là que tu as commencé avec l'esprit. C'est vous-même qui m'avez choisi, maman chérie. Parce que c'est vous-même qui consolez, m'aide le couler dans le gym. C'est vous-même qui nettoyez, les centres d'apprentissage. C'est vous-même qui bon manger, les gangs vous l'écrasez. Maman chérie, je ne connais pas comment me dire merci. C'est qu'on y a l'amour pour qu'il sorte comme bon bâton. Pour tout ça, moi, tu es comme fait qu'il n'y a pas de jambon. Sou pat kon bon baton pou sa mte kon fèl ki pat bon. Kounye a mwen tap deja nan prizon. Maman chéri, mwen pa konye kon mwen mdou mersi. E mdi bon dje mersi. Let's go. Let's go.
Dégagez-vous.
Oh, maman. On y va.
Yes, Merci Maman by Jean Thevens. And so this is how the young people these days are thanking their mothers. Everywhere, Orlando and also all the places, they say thank you, Mama, for this day. Merci Mama for this day. And so as we move on this afternoon to her program, Lile Lita, and we are approaching the turning point, we have some good news coming up. But right now, let's have the historical events. But for historical events, this month in history was the 182nd day of our, the earthquake that happened in Haiti. And so, as they say that, and also May 1st, remember last week, May 1st, we wanted to find out what's going on when May Day started. He said, in a note, the Ministry of Communication recalls that May Day originated in the struggle of thousands of workers who sacrificed their lives to obtain rights. It's a day of commemoration for those brave men who shed their blood for the dignity of work. This day pays tribute to workers for their role in the socio-economic life of the world. May 1st is a day of reflection around demands for working and safety, increasing production while strengthening quality and benefiting from social advantages. And so the day calls for a spirit of solidarity between employers and employees for the well-being of society. In Haiti, May 1st, the national day, was dedicated to the mass of workers that was also dedicated to agriculture. The Agriculture Day was retained by the Constitution of Haiti in 1816 in its Article 34. It is a tradition to celebrate the Labor Day and Agriculture Day in Haiti by gastronomy and production fairs, where organizations from the agricultural and artisan sector present their works. The trade union movement also revised during this period the problems encountered. Through conference debates of awareness, raising and mobilization activities, some schools organized reforestation campaigns, several civic-minded activities were organized despite certain difficulties. And that was in Haiti, EC Haiti. So right now,
yes, we have a May 7, 1842, an earthquake struck northern Haiti, destroying the city of Cape Haitien.
Oh, it was in 1842?
42.
May 7, so that was yesterday?
Yeah.
In history?
Yeah.
Okay.
May 7, 1944, the Cathedral of Cape Haitien is constructed after 100 years of restoration.
Or consecrated. Walk. So yeah. That's a cathedral. There was a cathedral in Port-au-Prince.
That yeah, like a...
Yeah, the one that was destroyed.
The biggest one.
Yeah, and then they have one in Cape Haitien too. Okay.
And May 10, 1950, President Dimas Estime relinquished the presidency and replaced by provisional government. So we always
have provisional government. Provisional government. Russian, make some money, and then run out.
Yeah. And May 11, 1796, the third civil commission comprising Saint-Onax, Roumer, Giraud, Leblanc, and Julien Raymond arrived in Saint-Domingue to establish diplomatic relations between France and the colony.
At the time when they said Saint-Domingue, it was Haiti.
Yeah.
Hispaniola, I want to say Saint-Domingue. Hispaniola. Because at that point, that was 1796, that was before the revolution.
Yeah, Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic was not exist. But
didn't exist.
Yeah.
So it was just one island.
Yeah. May 13, 1986, the CNG, the Conseil National du Gouvernement, published a decree electing the members of Provisional Electoral Council.
Which was the council?
Conseil Electoral Provisoire, the CEP.
That's in 1987?
Yes, it was the conseil. Oui, c'est ça nous te gagné, la CAE, May 7, le 7 mai 1842, te gon tremblement de terre qui était saccagé au Cap, il était écrasé au Cap net. Le 7 mai encore 1944, de 1842 à 1944, cathédrale au Cap là, c'est laissé à Yotévin reconsacrer. Ça veut dire après un pile travail, you know, un pile travail, yo te mette le campé. Le 10 mai 1950, président Dumas a estimé monsieur te perdu pouvoir, yo te remplacé monsieur par un conseil national provisoire. C'est toujours un provisoire. Yeah. Le 11 mai 1796, troisième commission civile qui était entré en Haïti, qui était gain Nectar Cousanto, Nax, Oumé, Giraud, Leblanc, Julien, Julien Raymond, Nexa était arrivé Saint-Domingue pour être venu établir relations diplomatiques entre la France avec colonie, parce que nous connaissons gain rebelles, Nexa était pété l'obèle, il pas dans la France encore. Ça veut dire Nexa était entré pour être venu établir relations diplomatiques. Le 13 mai 1987, CNGA, qui était Conseil National Gouvernement, était publié un décret, il était élu Conseil Électoral Provisoire, Conseil qui va faire élection, CIP. CNGA, c'est le Conseil National Gouvernement, c'est lui-même qui devine mettre CIPA pour venir faire élection. C'est le même problème ça nous tombe encore aujourd'hui.
Yeah. C'est même bagarre. C'est même bagarre. Yeah, same old.
Same people.
Yep. Now we have a news report about Russians and an American charged with having provided weapons and ammunition to the gang. And for those who've been following the news and also this program here on WGXC, you know that this is the same gang who had kidnapped the 17 missionaries in Haiti, and they ask $17 million in the past. Now, the leader of the 400 Maozo gang, Germaine Joly, alias Yon, was extradited to the U.S. on May 4th, and so as well as two other Haitian nationals and the American citizen appear from the American prosecutor, Mr. Matthew Graves. Apparently, they finally found them. Following the appearance, Prosecutor Graves and Special Agent George Perot, in charge of the FBI's field office in Miami, announced in a press release from the Department of Justice that these four people had been indicted for having considered to smuggle weapons into Haiti to the 400 Maozo gang. That was a question we always ask. Those people, you know, they didn't travel. They never left Haiti. Where the money come from to buy the weapons? And how do they get into the country? And who's sending it to them? The ammunition. That's money. You know, that's why they are killing people, taking hostages so they can buy weapons. Now, the indictment charges Joly Germaine, alias Yon, who's 29 years old, a Haitian national, Eliande Tunis, 43, U.S. citizen, from Pompano Beach, Florida, Jocelyn Dore, who is 29 years old, a Haitian citizen who resided in Orlando, Florida, and Walter St. Louis, 33, a Haitian citizen who resided in Miami, of conspiracy to violate export control, smuggling, and money laundering. Okay? So, Germaine, who was incarcerated in Haiti, and from what I tell, with close to $30,000 in clothes that he was wearing. He clearly proudly showed it around with a pair of socks that he paid $700 for. Okay? Not only he had the money, but the way disgusting. In a country like that, for a man is paying $700. You have to ask yourself what's going on. And so, instead of taking the money that he has, they have 300,000 US dollars and not counting Haitian dollars, they found in jail with the men and so many telephones. And that's one of the reasons that the people believe that he will do better being in jail in the US than in jail in Haiti, because Haiti's prison for this guy is just a vacation. They put him aside, so machine back Brazil for so he can avoid an accident or something. So Germain was incarcerated in Haiti, continued to direct the operation of the 400 Maozo or 400 Maozo gang from prison using clandestine cell phones. According to the indictment, which states that Tunis, Door and St. Louis obtained from Germain specifications for the weapons and ammunition that Germain and other gang members needed. Tunis, Door and St. Louis, who also resided in Florida, purchased a number of firearms from Florida gun shops, including rifles, pistols, and handguns, while falsely claiming they were the true buyers of these firearms. Tunis, Door, and St. Louis then smuggled the firearms and ammunition into Haiti, concealing them in containers from September to November 2021. So the indictment also described the defendant's use of the U.S. financial system to facilitate gun purchases. I always said that when you are fighting here for some kind of control over gun purchase, you know, asking for some kind of psychological input to have references and all that and on citizens here, those who want to have the weapons, they find a way to get it. And the more they tighten the screw against gun purchases here in this country, a new market will open up. And the new market is Haiti. And that's why you have it, you know, loaded with weapons. And so Yon accused of kidnapping and forcible confinement against American citizens will appear again on May 17th, next week. So you see, the same gang, Maozo gang, who asked $17 million for American who were captured, now is in prison here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And what about the rest of them? They have to get a way to get the rest of them into some kind of, get them off the street, because they're still it's not in Haiti, meaning that it's not an issue for the country, because a lot of people are afraid of them. As we are approaching the turning point of our program this afternoon, I'll thank you for joining us, and I would like to remind you this program is from the Community Radio, WGXE, and to support WGXE, if you can make a check payable to WGXE and mail it to Care of Wave Farm, and 5662-23, it's in P.O. Box 13 in Accra, New York. And the zip code is 12405. For more information, you can always send us an email at info@wgxc.org. And for feedback, or you hear something, you want to give us more information, you want to request, you want to tell us what you think. But I'm sorry for what happened earlier, you know, for technical difficulties and all that. But we resume it, and we in, and we hear, and we are sharing with you. And you can always send us your feedback at wgxc.org. To make a pledge of your support, your sustainable support, or for a one-time support, you can always, if you don't want to do it online, you can call the station at 518-697-7400. 697-7400. And now we are making the turning point here on WGXC. And this turning point starts with a song from Jimmy Jean Felix, right? Yes. Jimmy Jean Felix.
Merci bon Dieu.
Merci bon Dieu. That's mean. Thank you, God. La misère finit pour nous. Well, we're going to find out if misère is done. Misère never ends, because misery, the Bible said that. You know, misère is just like the fifth finger. It's small, but it's there. And you're going to live with it as anything else. It's part of nature.
But this song is a beautiful, like a traditional Haitian folk song.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's only, it's not a remix.
It's like, you put a fusion. It like a, more like a fusion, like a very jazzy.
Okay.
It sounds really very nice.
Okay, let's take a listen.
To me. Thank you.
The Turning Point on WGXC.
Oui, Jimmy Jean-Félix, merci bon Dieu, et qui j'en la mise pour aller finir pour nous.
Pour aller finir, le poco fini.
Non.
Yeah, almost, it's almost there. Yeah. We almost finish with la mise, la misère, with misery. Is it, they didn't say poverty, they said misery. Okay. Merci, bon Dieu, la misère finit pour nous. Mais est-ce que c'est vrai? Is it true? Well, for some it is, especially with the appointment, I would say, of Karine Jean-Pierre this week, as the U.S. President Joe Biden announced in his statement on Thursday, May 5th, 2020, too, that Karine Jean-Pierre will become the new White House press secretary to replace Jen Psaki, who will step down on May 13. Karine Jean-Pierre becomes the first African-American the first black woman, the first person of Haitian origin, and clearly identifying as a lesbian to hold this position. I am proud to announce, President Biden went on to the press secretary, that Karen Pierre-Pierre will be. And so Karen not only brings the experience, talent, and integrity needed for this challenging position, but she will continue to lead the way in communicating the work of the Biden-Harris administration on behalf of the American people. Jill and the president have known and respected Karen for a long time, and she will be a strong voice speaking for the administration and for the president. President Joe Biden noted in the press release. For her part on Twitter, Jen Psaki, who said she was grateful to Mr. Biden and First Lady Jill Biden, describes Karen Jean-Pierre as a remarkable woman who she looks forward to seeing shine by bringing her own style, her brilliance, and her grace on the podium. Representation is important, and it will give a voice to many, but also make many people dream of what is truly possible. She also wrote, noting that it will give a voice to many people, and it will allow many to have big dreams. At 43, Karen Jean-Pierre embodies the realization of the American people, the American dream. That's Le Nouvelis. Raised in New York by Haitian parents, the son of immigrants, the daughters of immigrants, the daughters of the diaspora, that's what it is, who had to flee Haiti's poverty in the dictatorship of Jean-Claude Duvalier. He became a taxi driver in New York City, and her mother, a home caregiver. So you see, even though you are doing that, you're just like me. I'm not much of anything, but my daughter, you know, who graduated from Columbia University too, now is a doctor. So the daughters, when you give immigrants a chance, you never know what they want to take it and done with and do with it. And so, most of them. And so, this senior Biden administration official blew up glass ceilings. A graduate of the prestigious Columbia University, where she was also a professor, Karen was positioned herself as one of the main black personalities in American politics and media, before the one who will now speak on behalf of the American president and executive. There was only Judy Smith, another black woman who was deputy spokesperson for the White House under the president of George H.W. Bush in 1991. Karen said that I am everything the former president hates. She's a female, she's black, she's gay, and a mom on Mother's Day again. You see, and a mom. And her parents come from Haiti, the whole country. He declared, and so she published in her autobiography, Moving Forward, in November 2019, and through which she proclaims her pride for her origins and her struggles. I am a proud Haitian American, and I was not born in Haiti, and alas, I do not speak much Haitian Creole, she also wrote. Current Principal Deputy Press Secretary and Deputy Assistant to the President, Karen Jean-Pierre is a longtime advisor to President Biden, previously Vice President of the United States of America. Jean-Pierre had served as Regional Policy Director for the White House Office of Political Affairs during the Obama-Biden administration and as Deputy Director of Battleground States for President Obama's 2012 re-election campaign, Southeast Regional Political Director for President Obama campaign in 2008. On August 11, 2020, shortly before announcing that Senator Kamala Harris will be Joe Biden's running mate in the 2020 general election, the Biden campaign team had chosen Karen Jean-Pierre, already an advisor on the team, as chief of staff to potential Vice President Harris, a function that the former political analyst for NBC and MSNBC and head of public affairs for MoveOn.org had held brilliantly. Note that these changes to the Biden administration press team come at a time when the White House is making several other staff moves in anticipation of a possible Republicans take over on Capitol Hill in the upcoming elections midterm. One of Mr. Biden's closest advisors, Anita Dunn, will return to the West Wing as a senior advisor, while her team will also bolster the White House legal advisor's office, given that Republicans have promised to launch a series of inquiries if they regain the majority. But, you know, as researching this article, I have found, it's not unusual that Haitians and Americans have worked together on behalf of not just African Americans, but the country, the U.S. And as we know, as you may have heard many times in the show, especially during the our historical events and also during Independence Day in the United States and first day, January 1st, about Haitian Independence Day, you may have heard me sharing with you the other part of the Haitian history that most of you may not know. But there is an effort called Haiti Reimagined. And in that effort for Haiti Reimagined, there are scholars that are doing research to find what's going on. In the Library of Congress, Haiti Reimagined. Here's a little bit story that I have in the Liberation Connection. A guest post by Maria Pierna, a public relations strategist in the library's Office of Communication, recently interviewed Taylor Healy Brooks, the librarian in residence in the Latin America, Caribbean, and European divisions. At the Library of Congress, she joined them from the University of Washington. She used a chunk of her 10-month stunt to co-author a remarkable resource guide that explores Haiti's contribution to liberation movements in the U.S. and across Latin America. Freedom in the Black Diaspora, a resource guide for Haiti Reimagined, is a terrific site for researchers, students, teachers, and readers in general. Haiti Reimagined is spelled Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I is the Creole spelling of Haiti, which is H-A-I-T-I. Now, the interview has been edited and condensed for clarity. And here they said that the question was, how did this project get started? And the answer was, it saw a lot of news and social media focus on Haiti. Most of the coverage was negative. As a black woman who had some research expertise in American African studies, she knew a little about Haiti, but not enough to contextualize the stories she saw in the news. And so there was a lot of online talk about among scholars about the need to contextualize Haiti properly and understand its contributions to the in the Americas. And so the scholar wanted to address that issue and create resources to explore black experiences. Sometimes it's hard here. And so to create resources to explore black experiences and the connection between African Americans and the Caribbean. Scholars saw the need for new narratives. Scholars wanted their voices amplified in talking about these issues. And so she reached out to a handful of them to talk about Haiti's representation in the media, the long-standing relationship between African Americans and Haitians, and what the Library of Congress can do to preserve and emphasize these topics in our collections and services. As you know that many times, right now it doesn't seem to be so much, but in the past, Haiti's middle last name was the poorest in the Western Hemisphere. They don't mention Haiti anywhere in the media, pointed or otherwise, without saying the poorest in the Western Hemisphere. That's my emphasis. But what sort of items are in the guide? In the video, Haiti Reimagined, Jean-Eddy Saint-Paul, A Haitian-American sociologist says that the U.S. will not be what it is today without Haiti. The Louisiana Purchase evolved out of the success of the Haitian Revolution and its impact on the French economy. The connection between the fight for liberation in Haiti and this country's territorial expansion is a crucial history reference. Now, how significant was the Haitian Revolution in the Americas? Haiti became a beacon for people in the Americas, specifically those of African descent. As a nation that fought against slavery and for equality, the Haitian Revolution inspired uprisings and established black governed cities and towns in Brazil, Cuba, Jamaica, Mexico, and the U.S., among others. People often think, the article went on to say, that about Haitians immigrating to the U.S., but there was a time when black Americans immigrated to Haiti. For many African Americans in the early 19th century, Haiti represented black freedom and an opportunity to thrive in a nation that embraced equality. Reimagine what were relations between African Americans and Haitians. And so the scholars responded, I believe that there was always a sense of collaboration and solidarity, but there were tensions too. Brendan Byrd details these connections and tensions in his book, The Black Republic, African Americans and the Fate of Haiti, which they have at the Library of Congress, in fact. African Americans and the Fate of Haiti is the name of the book, The Black Republic. And he also speaks in the video, Haiti Reimagined. So anyone can see that video on YouTube. Who's listening, you want to add more information on that. So was there argument among black leaders about Haiti? That was the question asked. You had people like Frederick Douglass, a former runaway slave and abolitionist leader, who became an American ambassador to Haiti from 1889 to 1891. He saw Haitians as a positive force for all black people. Others criticized Haiti every time it fell short of expectations for a perfect society. So do black Americans have common bond with Afro-Caribbeans? In the article, she said, I think there are connections, especially when you look at the history. Haitians were so welcoming to African American immigrants in the early 19th century. Both groups share a common thread of fighting for freedom, equality, and respect. But similar to what black Latino experienced, Haitians deal with what some scholars describe as a triple consciousness, being black, American, and Caribbean. And so the article went on to say that the interviewer and the scholar, she said that I think that leads to different means for showing up in the world and representing one's community. That means showing up, representing the world in a different way. And so they said that people have to code switch in order to express themselves in response to their immediate audience. The influence of West Africa on Haitian and African American culture is notable in food and music. And you can see it in the U.S., the connections are present. What's missing is the ability to reflect on them. What do you want people to get from the resource guide? For myself, I'm visiting it, and I can tell you that most about connections between the United States and Haiti, many scholars and writers like Zora Neale Hurston and Langston Hughes and other figures in the Harlem Renaissance were inspired by Haiti and Haitians, and it is seemed to end that work and their work. Hughes had a well-known friendship with Haitian poet Jacques Roumain. He's the author of Le Gouverneur de la Rosée. Mm-hmm. And this is a one example of the long standing connections between African Americans and Haitians. And so you said that you will also want people to think about the power of proximity as it relates to the diaspora. All those connections in the Americas and communications between enslaved people during this time period, that time period in history, you would like people to know that Freedom Journal, the first black-owned newspaper published in the United States, was co-edited by John B. Wassum, a Jamaican immigrant who promoted migration to Haiti and Liberia. What's next to the resource guide? It's a centralized source of information that includes books, manuscripts, and other formats. And the first part is focused on the relationship between Haitians and African Americans, Haitian history and culture. I hope the guide will support the development of a story map, podcast, and a video interview serve on the black diaspora. And so this black diaspora, and it is interesting, yesterday when I went to the when I went to that exhibit to find that drum, a drum covered not with sequins, which most Haitians use, but torn away beads that used during the New Orleans Carnival. It is so beautiful. Oh my God, and when amazing. I looked from a distance, I'm familiar with flag covered in sequins, but seeing drums, not in sequins, but in Mardi Gras beads, torn away beads, recycled by covering it, you will think that it was a work of a Haitian.
The artist is incredible.
Yeah, but what happened is he wasn't a Haitian, he looked like a tiger eye.
Eyes in the drum. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was something. I never seen something like that before.
It was a very nice exhibit yesterday in Hudson. It's still on.
Yeah, so anyone who have a chance to see it, it would be a pleasure to see something like that. Because,
the beautiful pieces.
Yeah, it is beautiful piece.
I think this guy come from New Orleans.
Yes, that's why he got the idea. He had the piano covered with beads and toy away beads in Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
And you know the history of Mardi Gras and the area of New Orleans. And why you have New Orleans that influence? Haitians again brought it to the area. So we have so much in common. And having this woman, Karen Jean-Pierre, and the White House representing, and not just from her heritage, but the black. She was born and grew up here and go. So this is something that it's not new for the Haitian diaspora to have one of their own. And so it brings great pride in the Haitian community. And this month for Haitian Heritage Month, and to have Karen Jean-Pierre in this position, it's a pleasure. And for the Haitian community, and that's why we said that, merci bon Dieu, ma misère est finie pour nous. Congratulations, Karen. Oh, Dr. Finolia is on. Okay, let's listen. Okay, Dr. Finolia is on. How are you?
Good. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you too.
Happy Mother's Day to you.
Yes, the mothers.
Thank you.
You know, I was talking about Haitian Heritage Month today, and then this month, and you have Karine Jean-Pierre in the White House, you know, whose father was a taxi driver, and the mother a home care worker, and you see how the parents of immigrants, what they have created and give to this country. You know?
That's true. Well, there's a lot of people from Haiti giving a lot to this country. And yep. It's been like that for many, many years. It's just we haven't gotten a lot of the recognitions, but
that's right.
You know, we do a lot.
if you give us one finger, we'll get the whole hand. That's what it is. Because you see, that's why when so many wants to come here, they chase them out with the most embarrassing way. Because once you have them, if they can do it, they will work hard to make it happen for their children. And so I give thanks to the administration for recognizing Karen Jean-Pierre for her work and for on behalf of the American people.
That's great.
Yeah, so for Mother's Day, anything new, what we have?
nothing new. It's just another day.
Well, it's just another day. You know what, Dr. Finuja, I was saying earlier, and we had some difficulty with our broadcast earlier. But what I realized, because now my children are grown, children don't look back. We are parents who keep looking back at when they were children in our care. But once they're gone, they grow up and they move on. They don't look back. They keep moving forward. They keep looking forward. But the moment they have their children, it's just like we pass the baton to them. Then they will find out.
Right. It's another story.
This is another story. Yeah.
Because it makes you appreciate your mama more. I always think about, wow, I don't know how she did. To me, I feel like my mother was always so poised, so calm, so... You know,
she's in control.
One of those mothers, like I'm a little bit different. I'm like,
The first time mothers.
She's different.
Well, what happened is when the mother, one of the things that I see in Haiti, for mothers, especially new mothers, they have the whole town to support them. You know,
so
that helped them relieve the stress of motherhood, and that gave them the experience that they need. Without feeling burdened by the new child they have, you know, so that helped. And that's why down the line, they would be more poised, they would be more, ready to take over and carry on. Because my daughter said, well, how do you have multiple births? The first time, well,
Even when she came to this country, she was still very calm and patient.
Yeah.
I think some mothers are good at being a mother. Mothers love being a mother, and they don't care if the kids make a lot of noise. They don't care if they have to do a lot of work. They just do it. But there's some mothers that are like, maybe the age, I don't know what it is. They get to a point where it's like, maybe this was not what I was supposed to do or something. It's like
they weren't ready
like
for
kids
it.
Taking so much of your time.
They weren't ready for it. They were not ready. Because once you sign to have a child, you have that child for 18 or 20 years. Before the person is on his own and still is still looking back at mother, this is an ice cream parlor. So they will have, you know, they come after you. But anyway, it's a pleasure. As I was saying earlier, having a child, I wonder sometimes if it's not a selfish decision to have a child.
Well, it is, in a way. I mean, like, what's the purpose for having a child? You have to look at it. What's the purpose?
Because what's it going?
Carry my genes forward?
You know?
Today I was thinking about it, like, carrying a gene forward after several hundred years, that line is going to be done. So,
they have the DNA. These days they can trace you from generations and generations.
No, but after a while, you know, like, I've met families where they were the last one remaining family member.
Because they didn't have any more children. So that's what happened. If they line, they will see it. And do you see right now with the Finding Your Roots documentary, they have found people through their DNA that have, ancestors in Europe, in Africa, in some places for generations. You know, even centuries. Some of them who are son and daughters of kings and queens. But you know, that genes, I think it's really selfish. Because for us, especially women, if we don't have children, it's at a certain age, oh my God, it's a nightmare. Oh, we're having kids. Oh, the kids. Just to be left behind once they're gone and not thinking of you anymore but their own life. Yeah, selfish too, you know. So this is what it is.
An uncle that died when I was a kid, and I love my uncle so much, but he had children and he left behind. And it's so beautiful to see how that, for example, one son remind me of him so much, and now that son got married and have a child.
Oh boy.
And it's almost like we're still talking about this man, even though he's been passed. And I have another uncle, same brother. He passed, and he didn't leave any kids behind.
Oh, boy.
The memory is so different. We don't really talk about him as much as we do as the one that have the kids. So it sometimes leaves certain things, you know, that piece of gene continues on.
Yeah.
But it's really a unique thing, though. It's selfish, yes, but it's also unique. It's some type of good feeling, depending on how you have the kid, too, because sometimes you might want to have it, but you had it in a bad condition.
Well, or that's, you know, it's
it
painful.
Wasn't the way you planned. So there's all kinds of stuff attached.
This struggle becomes worse. This struggle becomes worse because I went out one day, I was in Haiti, and I saw a young girl with a baby in her breast. She had nothing left to give to the child, and the child was crying. And she didn't have milk, she didn't have any money, she didn't have anything that. You can see the misery in her face. And she was a teenage mother. So you
wonder how she ended up getting pregnant. What was her condition between, you know, for doing that?
You know, this is not a one person act. This is a two persons act, but it's always the woman who suffered the most. And as I was reading the UN on climate change mitigation plan, women, as they say, that have to, the gender and environment, the women have to be involved to mitigate climate change, to be to work with the planet and to do the things that women do. Because as mothers, we nurture nature. Okay? When a child came out, we nurture that child up to adulthood. But at mm-hmm. the end, that same child turning around and is Mr. So-and-so. He's telling you what to do. He's telling you how to control your body. He's telling you who to use, who to have, and who not to have, and all these things.
Am I more smart than you?
Yeah, of course. It's just like the student becomes smarter than the teacher. You know, they're telling you what to do. They run the gamut. They tell you what laws against you. You know, this is unbelievable how society can play around and put people in conditions like that. You have the child.
I know. I've seen it now with the seniors. When they get older, they cannot make decisions. It's their kids that are doing it for them.
Yeah, but not just that. This is a family decision. At least the child will make decision according to the needs of the parents. But when you have politicians making decisions on what's happening on your own body, this is something else. It's not related to you. It doesn't know your misery. He doesn't have a knowledge of what's going on in your family, in your life. What caused you to be or to do or to get yourself in that condition? That you have to mm-hmm. make the decision that you make. But they tell you they control. And you say that politics is not is none of your business when in fact they're telling you what to do with your body.
Yeah,
they're telling you, you know, what's going on and who you sleep with, whose child you should carry. That's what it is. I may not like the man, but the man like me, and he forced me to carry, make a deposit that I don't want, and I withdraw the deposit, and I don't have the right to withdraw that deposit. I have to stick with that deposit until that deposit grew up to become another narcissist to tell me what to do. So, you see, this is really something in this world. We have to really be careful because society is, I think there is a cold gender war going on, and so mothers who can afford to have children on this Mother's Day and who love the pregnancy in Haiti, when a woman is pregnant and the woman is married and the woman is happily with her husband and they are planning the child's arrival, that woman is pregnant, fils à enceinte. But when it's in the back road, a back room and a corridor, something that happened, that woman is gross.
Okay, enceinte and then gross. Wow.
Okay, a pregnant woman enceinte, that's when she has a family and waiting. She has you know, the womb, the nursery, everything is ready, the community embraces her and everything is ready to welcome the new arrival. But she's gross. Ça c'est le ticket. When she got pregnant from the back door, from the back room, from the corridors. No one knew who's coming in, who's coming out, where that chick happened.
Well, you know, the one thing, I know some women, sometimes it's not their fault. There were a situation that happened to them. They got pregnant when it's not what they wanted.
Yep.
But I think our young women, you know, as women, a lot of us need to learn how to not, you know, have that precious thing be given away so easily.
You know, there was
so
a woman.
Don't get in that situation where they get lost.
There was a woman on social media that posted a video. He said that private school is expensive, private hospitals expensive, private jet is expensive. And you want my private part for nothing. I thought that was so funny. Because really, you know, you can end up gross instead of enceinte.
And when sometimes that, though, a lot of women, they think, oh, because parents may not wanted them to go out, and they feel like, hey, as a payback, my, you know, I'm just going to go and do things, and things end up happening to them on that particular day. So there's all types of situations that lead women sometimes to getting pregnant.
You know,
it's in fact, it's not really what they had planned.
The young
but
men have
them,
to.
They're strong enough, they accept it, they have that kid. Power to those women, too. But there are a lot of women out there that just go and do stuff, and then they bring kids out there unplanned, on purpose.
And I don't think it's on purpose.
Suffer, you know?
I don't think it's on purpose.
Not right.
I was listening.
Oh, believe me, some women go out there, get pregnant because they want that man to be responsible and paying some bills for them. I'm telling you, some women do get pregnant on purpose.
Yeah. To catch your image. Oh, I'm carrying his child.
They don't want, he'll be paying some bills and they'll get some money somehow. There's a lot of women that do that.
Yeah.
And I feel that's, when you're talking about selfish, that is selfish, but they're looking for survival. You know, they think by doing it, they'll continue to survive. And which does happen, but in countries like Haiti, when there's so many people suffering, I don't think people should just go and have kids just to have kids, because then you're bringing a whole bunch of kids that's not being cared for properly, and that's what affects society, because when these kids grow up, they're angry, they're bitter, and then they destroy the place where they live.
Well,
why do you think there's so many gangs and so many members not caring? Because they don't have anything to worry about, you know, because they were just brought up here for no reason. Just to, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, I was listening to a broadcast earlier this week where the issue was being discussed about women who had to, they have to carry it because somewhere, somehow, someone will come up and help you with the child. God will send someone your way to help you with the child. Now you're asking a woman to take a 21 years responsibility on faith. God will send something to you. And when in fact that you are carrying that responsibility as your own, I can't do it. I just can't, you know. And I have to stand with those who stood behind, who went before me, who paved the way for me to have the rights to choose. And so I'm standing up for the child, for the young girl behind me. Because someone has to pave the way for her too, just like they did that for me. But I saw so many things. You know, children have, you are doing your role as a mother today. And, you know, that's what it is. I mean, you know, to have children and I remember in orphanages, how they were abused. And not too long ago, you heard about the kids who died in orphanages. And the parents and how they were mistreated and all that. And those are women, those are people, Christian people, who claim that they were helping teenage unwed mothers with their children. They were helping them avoid, removal just to have the child set up for adoption. And what happened? The same child ended up in miserable condition. And so many children who are alive and they are struggling. You can find foster
because
parents.
Because of the choices. I think women, we are precious. We carry special things that nobody else has. So we have to learn to make good decisions, you know.
Yeah.
We got to make better choices. And if we choose to get kids, we have to make choices to think that this is a long-term process. If a woman wants to go lie down with somebody, they have to think about it as a long-term process. Anything can happen, and this is the future. This children are the future of the world.
But
if
it's not just
brought up right.
It's not
the
just
the
woman.
Be better if they're not, then you know.
It's not
they're
just
not. But at the end of the day, I know it's not just a woman. But if a woman goes somewhere right and a situation happens, remember how I tell you some women may get made up in a situation where it's not their fault. They can get ripped or whatever.
Yep.
That's different if they get ripped or some bad things happen. But when it's a woman that consciously lie down and get into these situations, and they need to think about the future when they get pregnant, because this is the future.
But I'll tell you, there are men as well who want to get a girl pregnant just to make sure that child, that woman doesn't go anywhere. Because just like women do it, the men do that too, because there is a young girl they suspect that some another young man is chasing, and then they decided, well, you know, well, let's put an end to this, and then they cause a pregnancy. And
yeah,
so
but wasn't that girl there when she lay down? Does she not control her menstrual period? You know, there's all kinds
some
of
them
stuff
are
that
so
women
stupid.
Has a lot of control with. Exactly. So they need to learn to make better choices as parents, people, whoever we are. We need to teach our women to just be strong and be able to make better decisions.
And the men and the mother of boys have to be aware of that, because their lives can be ruined just the same. Because a young man will find a one girl who will lay down and say, well, I want to carry that man's son or that man's daughter or that man's child. And regardless, so he won't go anywhere. And so we ended up with child
but
support.
But usually that don't happen. The men end up with a kid, but he still can move on and do whatever he has to do.
Yeah, but
you
that
know,
woman ended up with
end
the child.
Up, some family of the men end up taking the child. Some, you know, there's all types
so
of
many
arrangements
chaos.
That can be made.
So many chaotic.
A lot of different arrangements have been made over the past where the family of the boy take the child. Sometimes they force them into getting married.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen some very, very crazy things that sometimes it turns out good, sometimes it turns out bad. But the point is that people in general, the men too, let's start having people understand what pregnancy is, what having a child is. That it's not just having a child, it's the future.
It's a commitment.
And if we... Yes.
It's a long-term commitment of 20 years. That's like I sending you to jail for 20 years. And then, you know, there was a program in Hudson where they will give a student a doll to take home. And the doll will cry, you know, in the middle of the night, that thing will start crying in your ears, and then they will find a way. So... That give the young woman an experience and give them an idea of what they are committing themselves to when you decided to make the choice. And that's one of the things that I think a lot of women, a lot of young women, if they have the opportunity to go to school, focus on your education, be somebody. When I say be somebody, you are somebody, but be a professional. Think of yourself. It's not selfish. To think of yourself, to educate yourself, to put yourself in the better position. So whatever choices that you make in life later on, it will be an informed choice. So you don't have to be victims of anybody or somebody. You'll be at the mercy of a man once you get pregnant and say, oh, well, you weren't my first choice, you know. And so, and what about what your deposit? What you going to do? And they will walk out on you. What are you going to do? So this is something that I think if we women or the upcoming generations have to be part of the mitigation effort to restore the planet, we have to know to avoid the barefoot pregnancy and the kitchen way of life, because we won't be able to do it if we are in a position where we're so tied up in having kids that we can't take care of. How can we be leaders? We cannot be leaders. We cannot run things if we don't have time. If we are barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen, we have to get out of there. Take your leadership. Train to be a leader. And this way you will be part of the climate change initiative mitigation process. And this is what we can celebrate today on Mother's Day. Dr. Finolia.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
yes.
what we can do, because otherwise... And you teach your son too, to avoid this kind of trap, because... Uh-oh, you are a mother today on Mother's Day.
I am. There wants me, so I am going to depart.
That's Mother's Day. On Mother's Day.
I went outside. They followed me. I came inside. They're following me. And
go to the bathroom.
Fighting for one side of my body.
Go to the bathroom. That's what you should do. That's what I used to do. I closed the door and I said, I can't even be in the bathroom by myself.
I know. They come and knock on it. Boom, 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 boom.
Get out. That's being a mother. But anyway, thank you so much, Dr. Finolia, for joining us this afternoon. I hope you can join us again next week on WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you.
Love you too.
So this is for Mother's Day. Let's see. We have a good chat with her on Mother's Day. This is a story, you know, that's close to my heart when you hear what people are going through. Now, right now we have Obed, Manoshal Mine singing Mama. And as we know, today is Mother's Day. So let's find out. Let's hear this. What they have to say. Oh, where is this? Nothing is always giving me stoke. Because it, when you think that you're going, and then suddenly you stop it, and then you have to restart from the bottom again. But, you know, this is, we were approaching the end of our program this afternoon. But that's not the end, because it's every Sunday afternoon from 4 to 6. I enjoy it, and I have the opportunity to be here to do it. And so I ask you to join us again to make sure that you support WGXC Wave Farm 5662. Route 23, P.O. Box 13, Accra, New York, 12405. Thank you, WGXC, for the opportunity to share with our listeners. Listen to Mano Charlemagne, Obed Louis, for Mama.
C'est pas surprise si jodi a m'a chanté pour pour valer misère qui est au passé m'pa quoi m'a j'en fin payé. Non pas mon la grande société, n'a roulé son j'ai croisant Dieu maman, pito nous chante soublé, vele l'espoir côté lié, pour nous pas décourager, tap nous exister. Maman chérie, c'est où toute vie à détermination. J'ai tendresse, affection manqué, tout ça yo ko situation. M'gade ou nanje, ou gade m'nanje, c'est que nous tout décabraché, maman. Pourtant des mois de mérivé, maman m'bagé, j'o sacré. L'issoute à l'exister, la caille fleur rose va rentrer. Que moi dévoué, m'cherche la vie pour m'ba qui do souffrir. C'est pas envie manqué, il paraît ce jour pas nous en coco vivé. Tandis sa maman m'dit, où est que moi dévoué, m'cherche la vie pour m'ba qui do souffrir. C'est pas envie manqué, il paraît ce jour pas nous en coco vivé. C'est pas surprise si jodi a m'a chanté pour pour valer misère qui est au passé m'pa quoi m'a jamb fin payé. Non pas mon la grande société n'a roulé sans je crois sans Dieu maman pito nous chante souple relé l'espoir au délié. Tabdou exister. Maman chérie, c'est où toute vie a détermination. J'ai tendresse, affection manqué, tout ça y'a qu'au situation. M'gade ou nanje, ou gade m'nanje, c'est que nous tout décabraché, maman. Autant de mois de mérivé, maman m'bagé, j'au sacré. L'issoute à l'exister, la caille fleur rose va rentrer. Où est que moi dévoué, m'cherche la vie pour m'bagé de souffrir. C'est pas envie manquer. Paraît ce jour pas nous en coco rivé. Tandis sa maman me dit, où est que moi dévoué, m'cherche la vie pour m'a guido souffrir. C'est pas envie manqué, il paraît ce jour pas nous en coco rivé.
Merci maman pour toute mise en passe avec. maman di mwen. Oh, tande sa maman di mwen. An pran kouraj, jouan la, nou gen pou nou rive. Tande sa maman di mwen. Oh, tande sa maman di mwen. N'a pran kouraj, jouan la, nou gen pou nou rive. Saldi, ou est que moi dévoué, je cherche la vie pour pas quitter souffrir. C'est pas envie manquer, il paraît ce jour pas nous en beaucoup arriver. Tendez sa maman me dit, ou est que moi dévoué, je cherche la vie pour pas quitter souffrir. C'est pas envie manquer, il paraît ce jour pas un coco vive.
La 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 la. Où est que moi devoué, me cherche la vie pour me pas quitter souffrir. Pitam c'est pas envie manquer. Il paraît ces jours-là, nous encore arrivés.
Yes, you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Lilelita. I have a small announcement to make about mail service. You know, when I was growing up in Haiti, we had a post office. But the earthquake destroyed the building. Yeah. And I don't know if we really have a post office anymore. I don't know. It, right now, the only kind of service that I see happening in Haiti is DHL or DHL. They have DHL and UPS. But mail service started by Sunrise Airways. Domestic destinations is Port-au-Prince, Cap-Haïtien, Jeremy, and Lekai. So there will be mail service in Haiti. So they have a phone number to call Sunrise Airways if you have mail to deliver in Haiti. Interesting, because you know this is a. I don't know when they get it. You go to the address directly and deliver it. I don't even see numbers on the houses. You know, how do you send mail to an address 30 à l'intérieur or in the inside the house that the third house down the street past the store with the red roof or the red door? Then my goodness, so let's listen to Mama by Charlemagne Péral. Manu Charlemagne, I always say Charlemagne Péral. Let's listen.
Ou va les misères que vous passez, pas quoi ma vie me fin payer. Nous pas moun la grande société, n'a roulé songer quoi en Dieu, maman. Pito nous chante souple, relé l'espoir côté lié. Pour nous pas décourager, car nous existons. Maman chérie, c'est où toute vie, détermination. Geste tendresse, affection manqué, toute sa cause des situations. M'gado l'ange, ou gade m'lange, c'est qu'elle nous tout décabraché. Maman, coutant de moi de m'ériver. Maman pa gen jou sacré, li sou te ya l'existe, la kay fle rose pa rentre. Ou est que mwen dévoué, m'cherche la vie pou m'pa kito soufri. C'est pas envie m'manke, il paraît se jou pa, nou an poko rive. Où est que moi dévoué, m'cherche la vie pour m'pas quitter souffrir. C'est pas envie m'manquer, il paraît ce jour pas, nous en poko rive, maman. Gade Jean la vie, fais m'ka zwele, fais moi résigner. M'jeune poignet moi pas coupé, vie maman m'trimé, la trimé. Pourtant d'en chita n'a parlé, de pourtant d'elle prend les passé, maman. Tout de suite, faut le gain de l'eau l'ange. L'osa, bon ange, moi aller. Même voler, moi t'a volé, pour le cap consoler. Son vieux madame qui gain courage pour lui résister. Après on caresse son tête grattée, les sourires m'en défait de râler. Les dix petites moins nous patinées, que mon taille pas qu'on déplacé, maman. Tout le monde pas de fête pour errer, monde pas fait pour trop presser. C'est parce que au cas observé, qu'il faut une tête chargée. Où est que moi dévoué, m'cherche la vie pour m'pas quitter souffrir. C'est pas envie m'manquer, il paraît ce jour pas, nous en poko rive. Où est que moi dévoué, m'cherche la vie pour m'pas quitter souffrir. C'est pas envie m'manquer, il paraît ce jour pas, nous en poko rive.
Yes, that was Manu Charlemagne and the version that we heard earlier. She's probably the one who gave who allowed Obed Louis, the young singer and artist, to introduce him to sing that song. This is a part of the true sentiment for Mother's Day in Haiti. And so I hope you enjoyed this program this afternoon, as I do. And you know that it's a pleasure to share my afternoon with you here on WGXC. And I invite you to join us again here every Sunday afternoon from 4 to 6 here on Lille Lita. And for... And so we invite you to join us again here. And so good night and hope you have a good week. See you next time.
Good night, everyone. Every mother have fun today.
Every mother fun?
Yes.
Yeah, they do. Okay. And so here's we go. We play our part.